The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
That's the Heat Doctor, David Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions. David, good morning to you and thanks for joining us this morning. It's not the heat we're worried about at the moment, or it probably is the heat we're worried about at the moment. A listener has an issue to do with that. This is one that came in from last month that we want to get to, first of all. Anyone with any queries, now get them into us. During the heat wave, this is the previous heat wave, not this one, David, that there was a cracking noise around something expanding in the attic. I have a water cylinder in the attic with a small red expanding tank near it. Was it that was causing this in the heat, I suppose, the question they're asking?
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning to all the listeners. I suppose, this can be a common problem, Jerry, when we have heat like we had, and extreme heat like we have. I wouldn't be so concerned about it being something to do with the water or anything like that, but it would be, I suppose, contraction expansion with the timber in people's roofs. I guess slate, tiles, everything on the surface on the outside of the roof is going to transmit more heat. And as we become more efficient with our houses and more insulated with our houses, I suppose what you have happening then is a sort of a movement like this with timbers. But no, I don't think it should be anything to consider, or sorry, to be concerned about. Obviously, Jerry, that is something to check at all stages if you get a chance, and that is, you know, tanks and attics and expansion tanks with heating systems, cold water storage tanks. Just check on them every now and again, make sure that you have no water coming out of the overflow, that the ball cock could be, I suppose, stuck or have a bit of grit in it or anything else like that. But look, I think from a heat perspective there, which was fairly extreme, I think, Jerry, then that would possibly most likely be something to do with movement in the house or movement in the roof of the house.
Yeah, okay. And look, it obviously it's important as well. You have your attic insulated, but ventilation comes into that too, doesn't it?
As part of the regulations with the installation of attic insulation through the SEI grants, or indeed, I suppose, through any building regulations, you know, you have to have sufficient ventilation coming into your attic. And I know when people retrofit the insulation, they install, you know, vents in the soffit or vents in the roof space. It is a requirement to make sure that you have a sufficient amount of fresh air going up there, considering you reduce the airflow or reduce the heat transfer from downstairs to up. But yeah, ventilation, Jerry, in both the attic spaces and indeed, I suppose, in living spaces is something that's key. And I suppose it's never more prevalent than it is now when we have, you know, the heat levels that we haven't experienced for a while or that we are experiencing now, which can be quite extreme. But at the same stage, it's definitely something to make sure that is correct within the house and that your ventilation system. And I guess just to touch on it for a second, Jerry, we have so many different options of ventilation through window vents, room vents, indeed mechanical ventilation systems such as demand control or the DCV, HRV, heat recovery ventilation. So, you know, it's definitely has to be considered when upgrading houses or when upgrading even just a simple attic insulation that you have the correct ventilation in all areas.
Yeah, very important indeed. A listener gets in touch, David, with a query. A solid Stanley Ashling stove, having a problem with the damper. It's not closing right. Who would fix an issue like that? Does he have to contact the manufacturer?
So the Stanley stove is absolutely fantastic and brilliant element to add to a house. I would strongly suggest getting along there to Boyles in Killorglan and talk to the plumbing department about getting a part for that. That shouldn't be an issue. But again, just make sure you take even a photo of the plate on the stove or the size or dimensions and make and model. But it's something, Jerry, that should be installed correctly and by a qualified individual to make sure that it's correct. When we're interfering or fixing or doing anything with stoves, which we're using fire in, it's important to make sure it's 100% safe. And I always say this, I think, and it's not to concern people, but again, back to the previous, ventilation, smoke alarms, heat alarms, and carbon monoxide alarms, making sure they're perfect in working order. And I might add there, Jerry, actually had a problem recently, or not a problem, but I suppose a query about smoke alarms. And I suppose there's a particular make and model, if not on all of them, where it gives the installation date and the change by date, where the whole smoke alarm itself has to be changed and not just the battery. So people should be aware of that and check it out and make sure they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, very important indeed, that's for sure. David, look, there's interesting figures coming out from the CSO this week and other authorities, the SAI as well, talk about Ireland's energy security, talk about imported fossil fuels. 78% of the energy requirements were met last year by imported fossil fuels. That's above the European average. But things are starting to change, particularly in the area of solar. Solar is becoming a bigger part now. There's been a lot of growth in solar PV. Renewable energy overall, 15.9%, up from 6.8% the previous year. So that's a big jump, a doubling of the number. But the big growth was in solar PV, which generated 1.65 terawatt hours, 50% more than 2024 and 150% more than 2023. Now, is that obviously solar farms are a factor, but is it, does micro generation feed into that, do you think?
I would definitely suggest within those numbers, and especially what you're saying there about the 150% from 23, 50% 24, that micro generation from domestic installs, I would love to know the number exact. I don't have it on hand, but I would love to know exactly what that number is. And I would suggest that it would be higher than the farm amount at the moment. And yeah, solar, it's probably the easiest sell if I'm being cheeky to say that. But I suppose it's kind of self-explanatory in what it can do for homes and how much it can benefit homeowners. I mean, if you take for a fact that we are always talking about the installation of heat pumps, upgrading your heating system, upgrading your insulation to your houses, the overall fabric of the building to be improved to retain the heat that you're developing. Well, I guess it is the next step to have solar panels on your roof to generate energy and convert it into electricity for usage. And I suppose there's so many uses for that, Jerry. You know, we have diverters and priority units that we can put in places in houses to make sure that the energy that's being generated is either stored in the battery or going to your hot water cylinder to constantly trickle feed and give you constant hot water from that source. Or indeed, you know, to car chargers where, you know, if you've got a car, electric car, the EV sales, I know during last month when we were talking about that, have increased as well. So, you know, hybrids, EVs, you know, all these things are leading to energy usage. And I suppose with the energy usage, solar panels are a definite easy thing for me to say to someone, they should consider it. And when we have the roof space and I suppose optimal directional for the best solar gain, then, you know, it's definitely an investment worth paying into. Because lastly, then, of course, you have the rebate from your supply company. Now, I know, I suppose I can be cheeky and say that, you know, it's not a fixed amount. There's different tariffs to be on. There's different elements to take into consideration with that. And I can't give you exact figures as to how much that would be annually. But it's definitely worth investing. And there's a calculable time as to how much the payback would take to get that gain from solar. And again, you know, design is proper. Design is key here. Making sure you have the system designed properly for your location. It's not because there's 10 panels next door, you should have 10 panels on your house. A slight degree of change might mean if you have 12 panels, you're going to generate more. If you have 8 panels, you're going to generate the same. So I suppose that's key elements of information for homeowners when they're making their decisions. And again, you know, make sure you're doing the due diligence on the materials being used and on the inverter that's being used. And lastly, Jerry, then I suppose is the power supply coming into your house. I keep saying this to homeowners, you know, and I suppose it's become less prevalent than it was. You know, the old barrel fuses are nearly a thing of the past, but you just need to make sure that the existing system, the existing electrical within people's houses is adequate to have any alterations. Yeah. And I suppose there is regulations through Safe Electric and guidelines, there's guidelines in this install that have to be adhered to. And again, the works have to be signed off and completed by a certified, qualified electrician. So I keep saying that to people because, you know, safety with this, we're working with electricity, we're working with microgeneration, it just has to meet the standards that have to be installed.
The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today, brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
Yeah, keep your comments, views and opinions coming into us on the programme at 0667 123 666. Listener gets in touch and says, I've always been concerned in my house a little bit about ventilation, normally for dampness, but during this weather, is it advisable to keep the windows open all day, David?
Well, absolutely. I think my personal choice here would be to have windows open all day, definitely, Jerry. And I know we have different ventilation systems, so I'll say that again, with mechanical ventilation systems are for different considerations. You know, the recommendation at any given day of the year, 365, is that we open windows 4 times a day for 15 minutes per day. But I think it would be self-explanatory in these situations. Now, some houses differ in what they need to keep cool by having the windows closed and the mechanical ventilation system working to its optimal efficiency.
If you have a portable air conditioner in your room or something like that, and that's what you're relying on, that's an example of that you wouldn't have on and the windows open at the same time.
Correct. It's one or the other, Jerry. And I suppose, look, we encourage fresh air to come into houses, but I suppose like myself, myself and a lot of other people suffering from hay fever, then that can be an issue as well this time of year. So, you know, having a ventilation system that's going to take the pollen even out of the air within the house is the smart systems that exist out there. But again, we bring it back to basics, Jerry, with window vents or wall vents, knockout wall vents and walls only. I mean, every habitable space over 7 square meters is a requirement to have a vent either in the wall or the window or indeed the mechanical ventilation system to work properly for the space. So, you know, opening the windows, having the fresh air coming through, I think it's a no-brainer for me. And again, here, you know, coming back to the solar systems, if they're working properly, then you can say to yourself, your fresh air going through the house and electricity being generated on your roof to work anything that you need to work. But, you know, it's as we move on further in the year, Jerry, and as we came into this hot period of time, you know, those are the key times for you know, heating controls and mechanical controls and ventilation controls to work properly. And when they're set up, they can do that so brilliantly, because what it means is that it's taking it out of your control and doing it efficiently for you. So, you know, I would say with that list, you know, I encourage it. I love it in my own house to have all the windows open. I'm one of the ones that walks out the front door in the morning leaving it open for fresh air to come in. And I think, you know, get out amongst it and enjoy it outside as well as inside.
Okay, David, another query from a listener here says, I have a house that needs attic insulation, new windows and doors, some plumbing and wiring. I'm not putting in a heat pump. Can I get a grant? Where to start with getting a grant?
Absolutely. So the starting point for that would be on the SEI website. That would be my strongest suggestion for that listener. I would query and question them and challenge them on why they're not installing a heat pump, but that's for a conversation for them personally, maybe. With the windows and doors, the regulations that are in there, there are certain BER scales that have to be met after the installation. So maybe not installing a heat pump might not afford that homeowner to get to the level that they need to get to avail of all the grants.
If they're doing that much work, obviously affordability is the key thing, but if they're doing that much work, then the first thing they'll have to do is look at the overall picture to see what will maximise their grant, make it more affordable. If they're going to all that level of disruption anyway, then maybe that's the way to look at it, to examine it at least.
I've definitely won this conversation, and we won't call it an argument, but I've definitely won this conversation with a lot of homeowners, and I'm not trying to upsell anything. Of course, we're in the market, we're in the business of installing and complete solutions for homeowners. But we can prove it on paper, most likely with all installations, that a heat pump would be more efficient for a homeowner than what they have as an existing oil or gas boiler, which are trying to be phased out, and including the costs of natural gas to put into homes at the moment, which is, I suppose, plus 100% from where it used to be. But, you know, you said it there, Jerry, an overall solution is definitely for consideration as opposed to picking. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't do elements of the work that down the line is going to end up where you want to be with the full solution. And that's a vital piece of information for homeowners. You know, I can't afford to spend 50, 60,000 on my house. I can afford to spend 20. But within that 20, what's the best thing for you to start with? And I suppose if the fabric of the building isn't up to scale, then the fabric of the building for me is the starting point. So attic insulation, wall insulation, windows and doors, like you said there, Jerry. I mean, pumping the walls, insulating the attic and installing windows in a 3-bedroom house, I'd be questioning if it would be north or south of the €20,000 mark. But that's, every house is different, as we know, and every house is measuring different. But then, you know, within a 3-year, 5-year span of that investment, the next step you're going to make is for the heat pumps. I mean, I can't encourage heat pumps enough, Jerry, when there's up to €12,500 on SEI grant funding towards it. Now, terms and conditions obviously apply, and there's different things that you have to install. But, you know, upgrading your radiators, upgrading to the heat pump, and the bonus that's in place, you know, that's an element of funding that should be brought into play when the next investment is going to be made into the house. And that's where you can do a piecemeal approach. But if there's the overall solution, I definitely, as I said, would question why there wouldn't be a heat pump installed as part of that solution, availing of all the grants, making sure at the end that your house is at its optimal efficient level, you're producing electricity from your solar. You know, it does work. And I think the proof is in the pudding with the savings that homeowners are making annually. And I guess then, you know, the next step then is the hybrid car or the electric car outside the door, but that's a different conversation, I think. So, yeah, you know, an overall house solution, overall consideration of the house. And if it's a piecemeal approach that's to be taken to it, pick off what you can invest in now, making sure that's of a benefit to you in the future.
Yeah, that certainly is the case, without a doubt. And phasing it and looking for it. And the reality is, I suppose, obviously the grants are changing all the time. They've changed in recent times as well, David. And when it comes to solar, there's a story out there this week that perhaps maybe people on social welfare will get a grant to install solar because the government are conscious to go that direction.
I absolutely welcome this, Rory, and I think we challenge the government, yourself included, by just talking about this and giving the statistics and talking about the numbers of installs that need to be done. But that's something that should be just absolutely considered and should be put into play. And I'd be encouraging any local councillors and everyone else to get involved in that conversation, making sure it happens. But again, as I said, it's people's roof space. It's up there. You know, you're not interfering too much with the home. You make sure your electrical installation within the house is up to scratch. And you're generating electricity, and you're generating, you know, back to the grid as well, you know, the micro generation back. But again, Jerry, you know, 2030, 2050 targets, I mean, it's constantly, it's not in the news as often as it should be, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, it's in the news how we're missing our numbers and we're not achieving where we need to achieve. Is it going to be a rush to the truck at the very end here of 2029 and there's going to be money thrown at this? I hope so. I don't know. I would hate to see that happen. I'd prefer to see it phased out over a number of years. But as a country, we're facing a massive situation where if we don't meet these targets, well, the money's going to be given elsewhere as opposed to be invested in our own homes and our own infrastructure.
Yeah, so that's all part of maybe what needs to be done. Is there any concern, David, out there with the heat that glass might shatter? How hot does it have to get in windows, like cracks will appear?
Yeah, I again, it has been talked about. I've never seen it myself personally. I guess with the new modern windows, the argon-filled modern window glaze, thickness of them, what we have here instead of, I suppose, the old type, what we have is a generation of solar gain through the windows. That brings it back to the listener of opening the windows and getting the fresh air, and your windows can operate like they're generating heat within the house when you have direct sunshine coming through them. But again, you know, with this type of heat, Jerry, it is extreme. Our houses, I suppose, you know, are naturally more developed for the colder climate, but we have to deal with this.
Yeah.
And I suppose common sense here, again, opening your windows, making sure your ventilation system is working, fresh air, making sure that thermostat hasn't been interfered with and all of a sudden your heating is coming on for the same times you've set it all winter long. You know, making sure that the house is running efficiently and that you're not having any waste of energy. But yeah, windows are something, I suppose, again, with the window grants that have been brought out, and speaking about grants through the SEI of up to €5,600, you know, for doors and windows, it's back to that question a minute ago of a wholesale house solution, that if you have the old double glazed 12 mil or the old single glazed, which are, I suppose, sort of phased out, then it's definitely for consideration to upgrade and bring into the more modern type of windows and doors.
Yeah, okay. A query in here as well, David, in relation to a listener saying, look, is this a good time of the year to get the chimney cleaned rather than waiting till the autumn? I suppose it is.
Definitely. I'm a lifetime talking about preventative maintenance in this time of year as opposed to lighting your fire in September, October, November, or whenever, and all of a sudden you have an issue with your chimney, God forbid, a fire in the chimney, which we don't want to see anytime. But yeah, this is the ideal time of year. It's I suppose, the time of year when you might get the plumber or the chimney sweep to get you quicker because maybe not everyone's considering it, but it's definitely preventative maintenance, annual maintenance, and chimney boiler maintenance, heat pump maintenance. It's definitely for consideration for this month, next month, and September, before the winter season closes in and the cold starts coming in and you have systems now that haven't been serviced for a period of time. You know, I would encourage it definitely. Other people are tied into contracts where it happens at certain times of year, but once it's happening, Jerry, that's all. Once there is a preventative maintenance, and again, we're dealing with chimneys here, I'll repeat what I said earlier, smoke alarms, heat alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, making sure it's proper and ventilation within houses.
Okay. All right, David, listen, thanks a million for that. Listen, I heard you're running the Glen Bay Marathon this weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm actually starting today, Jerry, so that's why I'm hoping to get off the phone shortly. And I'm away here at 11 o'clock. They put a special dispensation in place for me. David O'Sullivan, it's itemized that way. But yeah, we're delighted DC Energy Solutions to be involved sponsoring the Glen Bay Marathon this year again. There's a massive festival weekend on in Glen Bay Summer Festival. There's a website there, glenbaysummerfestival.com, with all the events. It's fantastic. Starting off this evening at 6 o'clock with a parade and drum dance through the village with the kids. A brilliant, brilliant experience for everyone. Music on all the venues. We've got all the outdoor amenities with the sauna down in Ross Bay. We've got the beach that's a natural amenity that's there. Walks, guided walks, nighttime walks. And of course, you said the running the marathon tomorrow. But yeah, if you see me on the road tonight, just stay to one side and give me a wave.
Well, beep the horn, David. Listen, enjoy it. Great stuff. Have a great weekend. It'll be brilliant weather as well for all of that. That's David O'Sullivan there with DC Energy Solutions, the heat doctor for us here, answering your queries and questions. And if anyone else has any other queries to get in touch with us on the programme and email them into us, text them to us, and we'll pass them on to him for this time next month.